Today, the Hour of St. Francis brings you an experience more beautiful than any story we could make up. This is life itself. This is the story of a song in the heart of a woman. A solitary melody that swelled into a symphony that still shakes the world with its glory. With Jane Wyatt as Maria, we tell this story in the words of the girl who discovered that whenever God closes a door, he opens a window. Maria herself had first opened the door to the convent of the Benedictine nuns at Nürnberg, Austria. She had wanted with all her heart to become a teaching sister.
One afternoon, I was busily and happily correcting the workbooks of my fifth grade students. I was a postulant, a candidate for the sisterhood in the 1,200-year-old cloister. I had just finished the last workbook when someone taps me on the shoulder. I looked up into the kind face of Sister Raffaella, the mistress of novices in the convent.
Maria, Reverend Mother Abbess wishes to see you in her office.
Reverend Mother Abbess?
Yes, child, go immediately. She's waiting.
Before I could close my astonished mouth, Sister Raffaella had shut the door behind her. Slowly I walked down the old worn steps through the ancient cobblestone yard. What could this mean? Reverend Mother Abbess never called for a mere postulant. Oh, perhaps it was the way I kept forgetting the rules. I was the black sheep of the community, and my troubled conscience brought back the kindly warnings of Sister Raffaella.
Maria, our sisters never run up or down the stairs. Child, I cannot imagine an aspirant to the Holy Order of St. Benedict even thinking of sliding down the banister. Maria, that whistling. No one whistles in a convent.
What kind of reprimand would I get from Reverend Mother Abbess? Shyly, I knocked on the heavy oaken door of her office.
Harvey?
It is Maria, Reverend Mother.
Come in, child.
You sent for me, Reverend Mother?
Yes, Maria, dear. How are you? Come over here. Well, what are you looking so serious about?
Reverend Mother, if it's the whistling, I promise I'll never do it again.
Oh, that. Well, after all, it was a hymn.
Oh, but I won't even whistle hymns after receiving the veil.
Receiving the veil? Maria, sit down over here next to me. Now tell me, what is the most important lesson our old Nürnberg convent has taught you?
Reverend Mother, it has taught me that the only important thing on earth is to find out what is the will of God and to do it.
Even if it is hard, very hard.
Yes, even then. And we must do it cheerfully and wholeheartedly, too.
Well, then, Maria, it seems to be the will of God that you leave us.
Leave you? Leave Nürnberg?
Yes, Maria. The doctor says you should until you get over these headaches. You can come back in June.
In June? Will it take that long? Well, this is only October.
The time will pass quickly, my dear. It just so happened that a retired captain in the Austrian Navy called on us this morning. He needs a teacher for one of his daughters who's in delicate health. The captain's villa is at Eigen, less than an hour's journey from here by bus. He will go this afternoon.
An hour later, blinded with tears, I walked through the ancient graveyard my way out of the convent grounds. My eye caught the inscription on the weathered headstone. God's will have no why. All the way to Eigen, I wondered about the captain. I'd never seen a real sea captain. Most probably he was an old man with a bushy white beard who chewed tobacco and had the walls of his home hung with heads of lions and tigers. But when I finally stood inside the wall of the magnificent villa, the only thing I saw on one wall was an enormous flag, nearly 30 feet long. The door opened suddenly to admit a fairly young man, tall and perfectly groomed.
I see you're looking at my flag.
Your flag? You're not the captain.
Yes, I'm the captain. I'm glad you've come, Fräulein...
Maria, Captain.
Fräulein Maria. Your little pupil is also named Maria. There are six other children, four girls and two boys. I must tell you, Fräulein, that you are number 26 of a long line of governesses and teachers who have tried to look after the children since their poor mother died.
Oh, your wife is dead?
She died 4 years ago. The last governess stayed only 2 months. But I already have a feeling that it's going to be different this time.
Yes, I will stay 9 months, Captain. Then I will be going back to my convent in June. Oh, the poor children. The long line of teachers and governesses have tried so hard to develop perfect little ladies and gentlemen that they've taken all the freedom and gaiety out of the children's lives. I had to teach them how to enjoy themselves. Agatha, the eldest daughter, was especially astounded.
Oh, Fräulein Maria, do you mean that we can really play ball in the garden and take walks through the woods and play with the younger children? That will be such fun. Father, did you cancel your trip?
Yes, Agatha. I decided that I would rather stay home with you children, now that Fräulein Maria has you skiing and sledding like real athletes. Fräulein Maria, since the children's poor mother died, I've always feared Christmas more than any other day. But you've made it beautiful for us this year. Thank you.
I went back to my convent for midnight mass. But the face of the captain, with the warm light in his beautiful dark eyes, kept disturbing my prayers. The month did pass quickly. One morning in March, Agatha came running up to me.
Fräulein Maria, Princess Yvonne is coming.
A real princess?
Yes. She's the lady Father's been saying that he's going to marry because we needed a mother. But I don't see why we need her now.
A few days later, the princess came. Somehow, she didn't look or act like the lady of my dreams. When she'd been there 3 days, she suddenly appeared in my classroom when I was alone.
My dear child, I have to talk to you.
Yes, Princess?
Do you realize that the captain is in love with you?
In love with me?
He told me so himself.
Oh, well, then I'm leaving this afternoon for my convent.
Oh, but why? There's no reason to be so disturbed. I know that the captain isn't really in love with you. He's just grateful to you because you've been so good to the children.
Oh.
In a few weeks, the captain and I shall be married. After our honeymoon, I'll put the children in boarding school. Their manners seem to have suffered badly these last few months.
But, Princess, why'd you get married if you want to send the children away from home?
What a queer little youngster you are. Did you think I was marrying the children? Now, promise that you will stay until after the wedding.
I will stay until the 30th of June, on which day I will be received into the Benedictine Abbey of Nürnberg. I'd never been in love. I'd never imagined anybody being in love with me. I decided that I'd better avoid the captain as much as possible. It made me more unhappy than I'd admit to see how hurt he was by my mysterious behavior. Still, he did not announce his engagement to the Princess Yvonne. When it was finally June, and only 13 days separated me from my convent, I decided to give the house a good cleaning. The morning I began, I saw the children go into their father's study. A few moments later, Agatha came to the door and called to me.
Fräulein Maria, Father says he doesn't know whether you like him at all.
Why, of course I like him.
You do? Very much?
But of course I do. Now, Agatha, I'm busy cleaning. I thought no more about the conversation. That evening, I was arranging fresh flowers in the vases when the captain entered the room.
That was really very nice of you.
What was nice of me, Captain?
Why, didn't you send word to me through the children that you accepted the offer? That you will marry me.
Marry you?
Why, yes. The children said they had a council among themselves. They decided the only way to keep you with us would be that I marry you. I told them that I would love to, but I didn't think you liked me. Then Agatha ran over to you and came back in a flash, crying that you had said, "Of course I do." So, aren't we engaged now?
Well, Captain, I'm supposed to go back to the convent in 2 weeks.
Is this your very last word?
Well, I don't know.
I'm so confused.
Is there absolutely no hope?
I never thought I've always planned on going back. Oh, Captain, I have something you don't have. A mistress of novices. I'll go back to Nürnberg right now and ask Sister Raffaella what she thinks. Sister Raffaella said nothing until I'd finished telling her the whole story.
The poor Captain. Maria, wait here. I want to talk to Mother Abbess.
An hour passed before Sister Raffaella came back to tell me that Reverend Mother Abbess herself wanted to see me.
Maria, dear, you came back to us because you wanted us to help you in this most important moment of your life.
Yes. You know me, Reverend Mother. You are so much wiser.
Child, I would not trust my own judgment. I called the whole community together, and we prayed to the Holy Spirit. And then we held counsel, and we decided upon the advice that we would give you.
What do you think I should do, Reverend Mother?
Maria, we think your place is not in the convent, but with the captain and his children.
It was dark when I opened the front door of the house. There stood the captain. He came toward me.
Well, Maria?
They say I have to marry you.
But why are you crying? Maria.
Oh, my captain.
Maria and her captain were married at the altar in the convent of Nürnberg, where she had once thought it was the will of God that she take the vows of a nun. As she was to write later, the heart piece of our religion, of all religion, is to do the will of God. In accepting her true vocation, she found love and a motherhood, which has become an inspiration to the whole world. For Maria's captain was George von Trapp. She and their children are now known as the Trapp Family Singers, famous not only as artists in music, but also as a refreshing symbol of joyous Christian family life. This episode of The Hour of St. Francis, entitled Overture to Love, featured Jane Wyatt as Maria. It was adapted from The Story of the Trapp Family Singers by Maria Augusta Trapp. It was brought to you by the Third Order of St. Francis, whose members with St. Francis pray, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. For a copy of this program, Overture to Love, or the Peace Prayer of St. Francis, write to the Hour of St. Francis in care of this station.